anything incapable.
Yeah, I can be. Good evening. My name is George Smith, and I'm definitely an alcoholic.
George.
I was sharing, just talking to somebody outside. Take a tell them little quips about myself and a couple of weird things that I do and what life has been like. And they asked me if I write these lines myself, and I said, hey, you know, like, they're just reality. You know, I don't really tell war stories because I think I've said to you, I really don't remember what I did when I was out there. I was out there for an awful long time, missing an awful lot of my life, and what I do remember is such an alcoholic and drug-induced state that I really don't remember. And it says rigorous honesty, so I'm not going to stand here and take and tell you a whole bunch of lies. And the stuff that people have told me, that they were with me, they were drunk and as high as I was, so what they told me is probably a lie anyway. So the only thing I need to know is when I picked up a drink, I couldn't stop. No matter how much I wanted to. I didn't like anybody or anything when I was out there. You had what I wanted, I was going to get it, and I didn't care if I hurt you. You know? I've been known to take and put pieces of metal on people, like stick people with ice picks and knives. I've been stuck with ice picks and knives myself. But that was just the price I had to pay. But I didn't see anything wrong with what I was doing. I thought everything was great. You know? Because the alcohol took and hit everything. You know, I believed that lie. I deluded myself into believing the illusion that everything was great. You know, Kathy and I were talking a little while ago about my anniversary. She congratulated me on being married for millenniums. You know? I don't remember getting married, so my wife does. So my wife is married, I'm not. But, I can't get away with nothing because I want to stay sober. You know, this weekend was a very wonderful experience. My daughter, who is the brunt of a lot of the horror and hell that I put my family through. See, I never physically abused my family. I was a hostage taker, and I destroyed my family emotionally, spiritually, and in every other way with the greatest weapon that God ever gave me, and that was his tongue. I tore my family to hell. My parents, my grandmother when she was alive, my children. But since I've quit drinking, wonderful things have happened. My son has come back into my life. I was part of his wedding. He had walked out of my life for over 8 years. I went up to St. Louis to the wedding, his wedding out there. Him and his wife blessed me with a grandson. My daughter, she got married. And she blessed me with a grandchild. And my granddaughter, you know, stumbling, bumbling, 10-month-old, walking, you know, gave me a shirt.
Yes, I'm a grandpa, and I love it. It has the big book on it, and it says, Grandpa shares his experience and his wisdom.
You know? And a couple other things. My daughter said a few years ago, you never would have gotten this shirt. You know? Because I was not a father to that girl. But today, I got a granddaughter who did not want me to come here tonight. She was crying and raising hell because Grandpa had to go out. But Grandpa has to go out to come to places like this and go to jails and detoxes, rehabs, so Grandpa doesn't wind up in jails and detoxes and rehabs. I go to places where I don't want to go.
Actually, I do enjoy going there, because every time I go there, I see me, you know? And I meet weird, strange people like Neil, you know? Of course, when he met me, I looked like Jerry Garcia. And being a Grateful Dead freak, you know? When the message, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher shall arrive. And I'll tell you what, I've learned a hell of a lot from him. Which is the way it should be. Which is the way it was with my sponsor. And the people that we sponsor in these rooms. I learned more by sponsoring people. Because I learned another point of view. I learned another way of taking, opening my mind and my heart to this program. See, when I came in here, I had a problem. I was an alcoholic. I couldn't stop drinking, and my life was unmanageable. And the solution was to find a power greater than me, and my first sponsor told me God opened the door to allow me to come in here. That was the solution to my drinking problem. And the course of action I took was to find God and make that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Then I had another problem, my thinking. And I learned all about that in my fourth step. Because it says we suffer from a disease of the mind and of the body. And I learned how screwed up my thinking was by doing a fourth step. And it scared me. I didn't like what I saw. Because the only thing I ever succeeded at my whole life was getting high. I was a failure as an employee. I was a failure as a father, a son, a brother, husband, and everything else. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I didn't put down any assets because they were lies anyway, because the only time I was kind is when I was trying to get over on you. When I was being generous, I was robbing you blind and everything else, because it tells me so in the third step. So what was my solution to my thinking? To trust in that higher power and to trust into a fellow man, another human being, for the first time in my life. You know, I trusted when I was out there, in the beginning, I didn't trust anybody who didn't drink and people who did drugs. I didn't trust those people. And by then when I got into the drugs, I didn't trust anybody who didn't drink and drug. But I carried a knife to protect myself because I didn't know what kind of monsters they were. I knew I was a nice guy and I would never do a thing like that. The hell I wouldn't. I've been known to stick an ice pick in a guy one night in a bar just because he was laughing and I thought he was laughing at me. You know, I wasn't a very nice person. In fact, I wasn't a person, I was an animal. And after I did my fifth step with my sponsor, God rest his soul, made it. Yeah. I talk a lot about my first sponsor because he saved my life. I love that man. Hated his ass when he was out there when I was with him because he told me nothing I wanted to hear. All I wanted to hear was, okay, it's okay, you know how to, you work the steps now, you know all about AA and it's safe to go out drinking. That's what I wanted to hear. No, he says, make coffee. Come on, we're going to jail. I'll meet you over at this meeting. Well, how am I going to get there? Don't worry about it. You got your alcohol and drugs, you can get to a meeting. I did whatever he told me. Because I was going to take and prove that rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. I was going to prove this, that it will go wrong. Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't drank today. You know? And that's the way I work this program. When I did my first step, I found a whole bunch of stuff I really didn't like about me. I found out all my character defects. You know, the lying, going to extremes on my anger, going to extremes on all my natural, God-given, wonderful emotions. And our emotions are God-given. You know? But I just took them, corrupted them, and I did everything that was negative, was evil. And I turned them back as a weapon, a way to enslave and to entrap and to drive people out of my life. See, I thought my parents abandoned me. They didn't abandon me when I was growing up. I drove them out of my life. I drove everybody out of my life. But I cursed every damn one of you for walking out of my life. In reality, you didn't walk out of my life. You ran. Self-preservation. Because I would have killed you just as surely as the booze was killing me. And I didn't see that the booze was killing me. That sixth step is the solution to my problems of my thinking. Ask God to, you know, take away my character defects. And I was willing. I was ready and willing and able. Then I got to that seventh step. You know, I had gone home. I sat down, went all over all the five proposals and asked all those questions. It was funny because as I was doing my fifth step, things kept popping in my mind, and my sponsor says, that's for your fourth step, continuation. I'm still working on my first fourth step. I still haven't finished it. You know? But that's all right. Because I'm still working on it. I'm still. I talk to somebody that I sponsor or my sponsor, and it's just like doing a fifth step because I'm still dumping stuff, getting rid of stuff, finding how screwed up my thinking and my mind is. You know, I only got two brain cells left, and I thank God that they don't talk to each other because I sure as hell be in the shits. You know? Because I still have that committee. Yeah? A great committee of the mind. You know, and one of those brain cells still tell me it's okay to have a drink. But the other one, I thank God, tells me to work with another alcoholic. Because that's what keeps me sober today. When I did that, got to the seventh step, you know, humbly asking to remove our shortcomings, all that was that simple prayer. You know, take away all my difficulties, you know. Unless they would turn around and help you. Help him. Because, you know, I'm still that arrogant, miserable person, and every now and then, those character defects and shortcomings come up. I know it. It's like getting hit in the head with a sledgehammer, you know. This mule gets his, you know, like, wow, I'm still an alcoholic. I'm still capable of all this stupid stuff, and I have to go back and redouble my efforts. But the only thing is, it shows other people. You know, but just because I may have quite a few 24s in this program, that I'm not cured. You know, I'm still a drunk who hasn't drank today. And I got a lot of work to do. You know? So, it also, I'm not cured. You know, I'm just a person. I still take and make mistakes. But today I recognize them. You know, today I can laugh at them. To me, I think the funniest thing in the world is when I start thinking that I know. And man, don't I screw up. You know, I get on my high horse and I can handle everything and everything goes to shit. And I stand there like, wow, you idiot. You know? And I gotta go back and I gotta get help. Because I need help. I need all the help I can get. So if money is aren't doing anything later, you know, just give me a call and, you know, keep me on track, you know? Because I can forget real fast. See, the seventh step tells me I don't know how to live in society, and this, it will help me learn to live in society, because that's a big problem. For 37 years, I didn't know how to live in society. I didn't know how to exist, get over, get by, get around everything. But I did not know how to live in society with people. And my past actions showed me that. You know? Got in trouble with the cops. Got thrown out of school. Argued and fought. Disagreed with everybody. Even when I knew you were right and I was wrong. You think I'd admit that I was wrong? Hell no. I'd argue loud enough until you agreed with me just to shut me up so you could get away from me, you know? Like, hey, I don't care. But the seventh step tells me I can't do that. That's a problem I have. And what's the solution to that problem of how not knowing how to live in amongst people? Very seldom. Very simple. The solution is become willing to make an amends to all the people that I've harmed. To learn how to go back and set straight, be willing to go back and set straight all the things that I did wrong in my life. And it says we take and set ourselves on a drastic, you know, self-appraisal. You know, I might have stole your car, you know, when I was out there. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't steal cars. I repossessed before their time. You know? I might have decided that your stereo needed a little bit of work done on it, so I would remove it from your premises, you know, after I found out the burglar alarm in your house didn't work. You know, I wasn't a very nice person. But the thing is, I have to go back and be willing to go back and make an amends to all these things. But I have to look at exactly what the wrong was. And I take and steal your car. There's a lot more to it. A lot more than just taking your car. Did you lose your job because you couldn't get to work? I gotta look at that. Did I cause trouble between you and your wife because you couldn't pay the bills? I got to go back and look at all this. That's part of the examination of all this. And I thought it was, oh, I just have to go back and buy you a new car. Hey, your insurance company paid it off, but maybe I have to take and make it amends, be willing to make amends by paying for your insurance, money towards your insurance increase and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that I got to be willing to do. And if I'm not willing to do it, my sponsor says, you don't have to do it. Just go on out and drink and say, forget everything. Yeah, I was scared of my sponsor, but I was more scared of the drink. He just told me things I didn't like, didn't want to hear. And I still, even today, at times, there's people on my list that I'm willing to make an amends to I haven't been able to. And I do thank God my brother-in-law lives down in Kentucky because we have no guns in the house, so I don't have to worry about that. That's an ongoing thing. He teaches me humility. I pray for him because I don't like the guy personally. But am I willing to make an amends to him? Yes. Have I tried? Yes. He just doesn't comprehend. You know? The only person that I can honestly take and say that I've tried, really tried, to make an amends to is my mother-in-law. Now, my mother-in-law is a very rare case. See, my wife has the cure for alcoholism. The only reason my wife is an alcoholic is because she's married to George. And if you don't believe me, you ask my mother-in-law. And if my wife would divorce me, she would not have to go to those things with those people anymore. And my mother-in-law is willing to take and pay for the divorce. And I keep telling my wife, take the cure. My wife is not willing to make an amends to me. But the thing is, My mother-in-law does not realize that I have 4.5 years more time than my wife does. Of course, my mother-in-law is a principal, used to be a principal at a parochial school, so I pity this kids that went to that school with their math problems. She just couldn't figure it out. But, you know, no matter what, I just can't make any headway with that woman. But I'm willing to try. I keep trying. I keep going back examining. I don't know how much inventory on my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and I just keep finding more things that I've done. So I keep becoming more willing. And God keeps putting them in my life. And eventually someday, maybe by the grace of God, it will, you know, my amends will be accepted. Or maybe they'll understand. You know? That's all I can take and hope for. But I got to keep going back. Because my sponsor says, if you throw you out of the office, okay. The big book says it's water over the dam. But I'm allowed to wind up falling off the top of that dam. Because maybe I missed something. So I keep looking. And you know, 99 times out of 100, I do find something that I've missed. I still have my original fourth step. I go back and I look at it and I laugh at it because, man, I just didn't know. I had one perspective, you know, one idea of what this program was about, what that step was about. But since I've gone through the steps with other people, and that's what this program is about, working with others, my whole ideas and attitudes and perspective of, you know, one of these days I'll learn how to say that damn word I'm thinking about. You know, everything has changed because I've become more aware of my higher power and my life around me. My life has opened up in such ways that I've seen things that I've never seen. You know, they actually have flowers outside. They grow up, you know, and the sun rises and the sun sets, and they're really beautiful, you know. And hell, you can even get a tan if you stand out in the sun long enough. I thought you got a fluorescent, you know, the neon lights and bars, you know. But things have changed. I can see the world today. You know, I can actually I'll get down on my knees and bend over and sniff a flower and smell it. And like, wow, they smell nice. I don't go stomping on them or, you know, laying at them like, oh God, stop the world, you know. I don't do that stuff anymore. Things have changed, you know. Life is really, wow. All because of the simple fact is I'm trying. Yeah, I'm not a perfect AA-er. But I do work this program to the best of my ability. You know, I got a long way to go. Every now and then, God has tendencies to be very nasty and restore a little clip of my memory. As I said, I came in here, I was missing 15, and every now and then, I'll be sitting there, and somebody will say something, and like, oh, wow. And my, and they go, what's the matter with you? Something just came back. And I'll remember something. And I'll sit down. When I was in the service, I used to hang around with this one guy. And he and I, we used to take and get hoof and nail and ready to kill each other half the time. And most of the time, either one of us would wind up getting picked up by the shore patrol and stuff like that. We did a lot of nasty, rotten things. And one day, I'm sitting down at work, and this guy comes waddling in, and he looked at me. And he goes, I'm so-and-so. And I said, yeah. And he goes, we were in the Navy together. And I go, oh, wow, man, I think you've changed a little. He says, yeah, I gained a pound or two. He's tipping the scale at about 300 pounds. And he says, I'm a member of a fellowship right now, and I have to take and do something. You may not understand this, but if I don't do this, I'm liable to drink. And I says, I'll tell you what. Let's sit down, because I'm a member of a fellowship, and it demands rigorous honesty, and if I don't take and do this with you, I'm liable to drink. Well, how much time you got? The guy had 2 weeks more than I did. And the reason I'm, thank God I keep my old forceps, because he started trying to make amends to me for stuff that I had down on my forestep that I needed to make amends to him for. And we sat down and we started talking to each other. And we decided that neither of us knew what the hell we were talking about, because we were too freaking drunk to know what was going on. And saying we're both in the fellowship working the program, that, hey, everything's cool. You know? And I tell you, it was great. And the guy's made a few more deliveries. I've seen the guy a couple times since he's made a couple more deliveries to where I work. And it's really good. Well, he's also lost a lot of weight. Last time when he walked in, I didn't even recognize him. He's almost as skinny as me now. But the thing is, life works. You know? This program works. If I work it. I walk into the jails and I'll take a big book and just throw it on the floor. He says, what's that? I says, the program in it don't do a damn thing. And he says, why? What do you mean it don't work? I said, that's right, it don't work if you don't work it. And I found that to be true. Because there's times that this alcoholic, like, they can sit back, you know, like, I get a little scared, a little fearful of going to meet somebody, talking to somebody. And, you know, those are the times that, if I really sit, really think about it, those are the times that my disease is saying, you don't need to do it. My phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, well, first of all, I got a phone that works now, so that's a miracle, you know? And if it rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up and answer it. And if it's a 12-step call, what 12-step call? I know people I can call to get going, to go on it. Why? Because God willing, if I ever take my control back and wind up going out, I want somebody to be here to do it for me. You know? I've had some... One of the neatest times that I made an amends. We had gone back up to our old hometown, North Jersey. And before you get into that meeting, you got to walk down a gauntlet of people. I mean, they don't have greeters. The whole meeting is a greeter. I mean, you're walking down like, you know. And I was a constant blackout drinker. I don't remember much, but my wife always said she never had a blackout. And when I get down to the end of the line, this guy's standing there. He says, hi, George, how are you? And I look at him and says, who are you? He says, how's your wife, Janet? How's Crystal and Bob? I says, who are you? And he told me. And I says, that's nice. He says, I used to live at your house. I said, yeah. He says, remember all the deer meat? I go, yeah. He says, I was the one that used to bring it. Yeah. He says, put a few pounds on me. And I go, Yeah. And he showed me a picture of him, of what he looked like then, next to his car, or I don't know. Or was it his car that he was showing me a picture? I don't know. They were both about the same size. He had a little gremlin. He was the only person I know in the world that was in love with a gremlin. The car. Yes. Yeah, it had the tinted windows and everything. I mean, this guy was an alcoholic. This guy really needed the program. I knew it back then. And I looked at him and I says, how much of a nine step do I owe you? Because I hadn't even done a four step on that. He goes, I don't know, how much do I owe you? I says, you're in the rooms. He says, that's good enough for me. You know, and I like to tell people, if I drank with you when I was out there and I don't remember you, please see me after the meeting. You know? Especially if you owe me money. Otherwise, everything's fine, everything's cool. You don't owe me no amends. But if you owe me money, I take interest too. And time payments. But, you know, I can joke about it because that's what this whole program is about, you know. There's a lot of good promises in there. And then, you know, in the third step, it says, we're reborn. I'm not the animal I used to be. I thank God. But I'm only one think away from that drink that will put me back to where I was. But I can look the world in the eye today. You know? And I like looking in the eyes of a newcomer. Somebody coming in the first time. Because I can look in there and I can see me with the desperation. And I like watching them, watching their eyes as they can go through the program. And I can remember what it was like for me. You know? And I try to take the people I go to that I sponsor, I try to take them through the steps the way I went through the steps. And you can ask Neil, as soon as he did his fifth, got done with his fifth, sixth, and seventh, I told him to go out and get himself a sponsee. Because I had done all I could for him. Because that's what my sponsor did to me. But of course, Neil, I got to tell a little bit about Neil. When he said that they called me up that morning to go on a Matt Talbot retreat, he made one big mistake. He had me talk to his father that morning. He introduced me to his father. And being a very nice, sweet, lovable person, I told his father to pack his stuff up and call the cops on him. So when he comes home from retreat, have him arrested. Because the only way, I know for me, the only way I would listen to this program is when I was in the pits of hell and I had no other place to go. Well, Neil's father did not turn around and do those things because he saw something in there, in his son. Not that he wasn't willing. Of course, I also told Neil to take and buy himself a straight razor and shave with a straight razor. Because I shave with a straight razor. This way here, when he gets drunk, he'll turn around and cut his throat and kill himself real fast so he won't kill his parents and those that are around him that love him. Yeah. And they got buried with his head like that, you know, one side of his face neatly shaved. You know? I'm not a very nice person. He doesn't shave with a straight razor. I still do. And I haven't cut myself yet. Except one day when the wife opened the door to the bathroom and like, she said, damn it, you're too close to your ear. You know? You laugh, you haven't met my wife. You know? But the thing is, life is really great today. You know, I will take and do anything for anybody, anytime, provided they are blessed with the gift of desperation to get sober. Because that's what it is. Desperation is a gift. When I had no place else to go, I came in. When I could not live
anymore the way I was living. I surrendered. Surrender means go over to the winning side. That's all it means. Because I was such a loser, I wasn't even in the race anymore. But since that time, wow. I don't know where I am. I'm on a planet going through the universe, and I'll tell you what, God only knows how I'm hanging on, because, man, this is a ride. You know? I got a God that takes me everywhere and does everything for me that I can't do. You know, I don't drive, but I get to places. You know, I make sure I sponsor people that have driver's license. I get to meetings. You know? And even then, I'm still not afraid to ask, you know? You know, it's okay today. I still have a nice step of amends to make. And I'll probably be making them from now until the day I die. It was a little difficult making the amends to my father. Because 2 days before I went to the rehab, my father had a stroke. And he never really saw me sober. He eventually developed Alzheimer's, and I had to put my father and my mother into a nursing home. But I was there every Sunday, Saturday. I got to the point when I used to go to the 4 o'clock Sunday Living Sober meeting. If you're ever down in Freehold, Sunday 4 o'clock at the clubhouse is a damn good step meeting. People share on their experience with the step, on how they took it, why they took it, and what they got out of it. We don't use what's that book with the numbers on it? We don't use that book. We use if you open a book, you open the big book. You know, but usually you can tell the people that work the program by the big book, and by the people that work the book say they're working a program with that little light blue book, you know. And then you got the rumors, the ones that come in the rooms and like, oh, I'm just back now, and I'm back for a week, and I know what to do now, you know. And they got all the answers, and then next thing you know, next meeting, they're gone for a little while later. Maybe a little bit of luck, they come crawling back in, you know, I'm back, I don't know what to do. Yeah, I know what to do. I thank them. Not for coming back, but just for turning around and teaching me what not to do. Yeah, thank God for the big book. Because that tells me how to live my life. It's an instruction manual. Very boring reading. You know. But every time I read it, it's new. Because I don't write in it, I don't highlight in it, and I just read the black. You know, my sponsor says, your name is not on the title page. Do not write in it, because you're dumb. And you'd probably misspell your name if you did put it on the page. Hell, I couldn't even hold a pen or a crayon. You know, I couldn't even write my name in the snow, you know. what are you laughing at? You know, that's one great thing about in our house. The controversy about the seat up or the seat down. My aim has gotten better. I don't have to worry about it. I don't even hit it anymore. You know, I tell you, life is great. Joyous, happy, and free. I am. You know, I know what I did yesterday. You know, I went into work. My boss come down all burned up, and he goes, what are you going to do today? I said, little or nothing. And he looked at me, and I sat down and started playing computer games. And I did absolutely nothing yesterday. I had a little accident at work the day before. I had a power brush blow up on me. And I got hurt and I didn't feel like working. So I didn't. But he got twice as much out of me today. Because today I made up, a whole bunch of drawings on what I needed and prints on what I did yesterday. So today I knew exactly what I needed to do today. I wasn't out there taking welding or cutting or changing parts on vehicles, but I was taking doing work. I was doing a different facet of it. Because today I know how to do things. I can plan. You know, rather than going cutting up a big pile of metal and, you know, making a pile of sawdust over here. You know, I do things differently today. I have great pride in what I do. I have a lot of pride in my abilities to be able to work in the trades of which I've been blessed to learn. You know? It's not that false pride that I used to have on how great I was, nor how great I am. You know, when I make something, I look at it, and I say, would I buy this? And if I can answer yes, the job is well done, and I can take pride in it. I'm not afraid of signing off on my work. I've been in the trades all my life, and some of the places that I've worked, people have gotten hurt over my slipshoddy work. And I was telling everybody how great I was. Since I've come into the program, nobody's been hurt on account of any of the jobs that I have done. Of course, I've lost the tip of my finger, and burned myself here, and set myself on fire a few times, but hey, man, I've done a great job. My boss trusts me. He gives me keys. I got keys to the place, you know. Before, I used to get in places that I didn't need keys, you know. I still don't half the places, but I got keys. If I, you know, honest keys, locks keep an honest man honest. Because when I was out there, I wanted to get into some place. I got there. And the bigger and the badder padlock you had, the more I wanted to get in there. And I did. But I don't do that stuff today. You know? That's the difference today. Because I'm doing these steps to the best of my ability. You know, they talk about in 10, 11, and 12, they take and they say, these are the maintenance steps, the steps to, you know, to maintain ourselves. Bullshit. That's to maintain the growth. Because without working them and the other steps, I would not take and be able to continue. Because if I just sat here and sat on my laurels and get tense with what I've already done in this program, I would be drunk tomorrow morning. You know? I have to keep doing what I've done. I still do the same things I used to take and do. Go to rehabs. I still make coffee. I still take and greeter. I still take and listen to my sponsor. And the sponsor I have today still doesn't, he doesn't tell me anything I want to hear. But my relationship with my sponsor is different today. I've made a friend of my sponsor. The people I sponsor, I'm a sponsor. Right up until we get done with the six and seven, and I tell them to go out and get a step, you know, go get somebody to sponsor. And our relationship changes. I am not a friend until you have done them steps. Because I don't believe, my sponsor told me, you're not doing any work until you've done those steps. You know? He wouldn't let me speak in a meeting until I've done my fifth step. Because he says, you have nothing to share. once in all the years that I've been, and I mean all the time that I've been sponsoring, have I ever run into a situation, you hear in the rooms, yeah, you can't share, can't speak until you got 90 days. I have a rule, you can't share until you've done your fifth step. And only once have I ever ran into a situation with a person I was sponsoring had more than 90 days and didn't do a fifth step. Of course, I only picked the person up about 3 days before the, you know, and I went and let the person share. And they thanked me. And I thanked them. Because due to the simple fact is that I have certain guides and certain things that I have to live by today. You know, the Chinese say the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. I used to take and hang out on the white line of life and get in the middle of the highway and take and get run over by everything that's going on. You either did things my way or the highway. You did. People moved down the highway. They got married, they got jobs, good homes and everything else. And I just sat around sitting in that white line, killing myself. Well, I came into the rooms of Vague 8 and they turned around and they gave me 12 steps and they said, start marching. Start trudging. And I figured I was just gonna waltz on down the road, you know, like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. And well, I'm trudging that road of happy destiny. You know, I've changed my whole way of thinking. Today, I reach out to help people. Today, I make an amends to people. I don't use the word, I'm sorry. I can't use that word. That word, to me, means nothing. Nada. Nil. I mean, it don't mean a thing to me. Because somebody would take and say good morning to me, and I say, I'm sorry. You know, because I didn't know what I did. And I was apologizing for stuff that I didn't know what I did. Yeah. And then 10 minutes after I said I was sorry, I was going to take it, I did it again. Well, today I don't do those things. Today I didn't buy this disease in my head because two brain cells, they don't work right anyway. And I don't buy it in my heart because, hey, that's for pumping blood. I buy it in my gut. And when my gut hurts, I know I'm screwing up. And for a while, I tried taking killing it by eating Tums. And I'll tell you, Tums don't turn around. And when you're screwing up and your gut hurts and you know it, Tums ain't going to straighten it out. The only thing it's going to do, straighten out, is sit down and write inventory and then go back and take and work the rest of the steps on it. And today I know when I'm screwing up, and I can take and say to the people, hey, you know, I ain't thinking right. I ain't looking at this right. You know, you just might be right. What can I take and do? And I listen. And you know something? Nobody has punched me out in quite a few years. Nope, I haven't been arrested. I haven't been in a fight in quite a few years, except for my wife, but that one I lost the day I got married. You know? I know the best way to avoid a fight with my wife is to take and say, yes, dear, and next word I take, and I don't say anything after that because the next word is going to be a new argument all over again, so I just leave it at that. But the thing is, I know when I'm screwing up today. I admit when I'm screwing up. I make those amends when I have to. Why? Because I don't want to be sitting on the side of the road or down on the railroad tracks talking to Jack anymore. Jack Daniels and I aren't buddies anymore. You know? Jack never gave me the right advice anyway. You know? And yeah, I get scared of taking doing these steps. That ninth step, going to my family and taking apologize, you know, making amends. I didn't really make one with my parents, but I was there when I put him in a nursing home. I took care of him. I was there when he died. I was there when my mother died. You know? I was there. The day my mother died, I wound up leading a step meeting, a 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon step meeting. And the step we were on that day is, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to the still suffering alcoholic and to practice these principles on all our affairs. And there were two newcomers in that room that day. And they're both still sober today, because they saw that this program works if you work it the way it's designed to be worked. I was told the steps are numbered because some geniuses like me now wouldn't know the order of which to work them. And even then, even today, I can still screw that up. You know? And my sponsor told me, anytime I think I'm having a little trouble with the step, go back to one. Because I need to. But is that what I need to do is to work the steps in a spiritual manner. 10, 11, and 12. You know? And I'll talk about them next week. I know I got a couple minutes, and the only thing I want to take and say is to put in the rest of the night, and in closing, I thank you, and I love you. God bless you.